اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وصلی اللہ علی النبی الکریم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. The topic for this day is life of the prophet of Islam. You know, life of the prophet is a very vast topic. There are numerous aspects. At present, I would like to say about only some aspect. You know, the prophet of Islam, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib, was born in Mecca in 570 AD, and he was appointed by God as a prophet in 610 AD. He started his mission in Mecca. He lived in Mecca up to 13 years. Then he migrated to Medina, and after 10 years he died in Medina in 632. Life was a very eventful life. Perhaps all kind of events you can find in his life. So he is an example for our life. In every aspect, it is preserved. It is very exception. There were thousand and thousand prophets in the previous history, but no prophet was recorded in history except Muhammad. The events of his life were, first of all, it was reported in hadith. You know, there is a book of hadith that is called Musnad Ahmad bin Hanbal. In this book there are 30,000 hadith, 30,000, and there are many events related to the life of the Prophet of Islam. So Musnad Ahmad is a kind of encyclopedia of hadith, also of seerah. So the first person who prepared a book on seerah was Ibn Ishaq, Muhammad bin Ishaq. He was a tabi', that is, companion of the companions. So he was the first who prepared a life. Ibn Ishaq was the first. He was a tabi', that is, companion of the companions. Then his disciple was Ibn Hisham. He prepared the second book, which is called Sirat Ibn Hisham, in 4 volume. Then there was Ibn Sa'd. He also recorded the life of the Prophet of Islam in his book of history. Then you know Ibn Jarir Tabari recorded the life of the Prophet of Islam in his history. So Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham, Ibn Sa'd, Ibn Jarir, they were the first biographer of the Prophet of Islam. Then in history you find thousand and thousand biographers. There are numerous books in different languages, in Arabic, in Persian, in Urdu, in Turkish, in English, in every language. So the life of the Prophet of Islam is a recorded life, a well-known life. It's not a mythology, it's not a fiction like other religious personalities. All the previous religious personalities are a mythological figure. They were not recorded in the history. Prophet of Islam was first who was recorded in the history. You know, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last prophet, was the final prophet. It is mentioned in the Quran in these words. Rasulullah wa khatamun nabiyyin. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِّجَالِكُمْ وَلَٰكِن رَّسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. خاتم النبيين means last of the prophets. Last of the prophets. We find a number of hadith. For example, the Prophet of Islam has said, وَخُتِمَ بَيَا النَّبِيُّونَ وَخُتِمَ بَيَا النَّبِيُّونَ. It means that I am the last prophet. There is no prophet after me. Then, last prophet doesn't mean that he was the superior prophet. No. Why Prophet of Islam was last prophet? Because at that time, the civilizational development reached to such an extent that it was possible to record the life and word of a person. Previous prophets were born in prehistoric period. So they were not recorded in the history. It is also mentioned in the Quran. Quran says about the Prophet of Islam that there is Maqam Mahmood. Ya wasak Maqam Mahmooda. It means that God is determined to give you the status of Mahmud, Prophet of Mahmud Prophet. Asa an yabasaka rabbaka maqama mahmuda. Maqam Mahmud means historical prophet, recorded in history. Maqam Mahmud means a prophet recorded in history. Historically authentic prophet. Then, about the Quran, there is a verse in the Quran, Fi Lawhim Mahfuz. Lawhim Mahfuz means that the word revealed upon him, or the Quran revealed him, is preserved kalam, preserved word. There is no addition, no omission. So this was the specialty of the Prophet of Islam, that he became a historical prophet, and also his Quran was a preserved kalam, preserved book. So after this preservation, there is no need of prophet. When prophet's guidance is recorded in history, when prophet's guidance is preserved in history, there is no need to new prophet. in previous centuries there were living prophets. Now we are in the age where there is recorded prophet. So when prophet was recorded in history, everything is preserved, then there is no need of a new prophet. So it is not a mysterious thing that prophet of Islam was a lost prophet. No, it is a scientific thing. It is a natural thing. Living prophet is not necessary. In previous centuries, the word revealed to the prophets was not recorded. His life was not recorded. So living prophets was a necessity. At that time, when there was no record, so living prophets were a necessity. But now, after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything is in a preserved form, in a recorded form. It is this fact that prophet became the last prophet, the final prophet. Then the life of the prophet of Islam gives us a complete model from the prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can know how to live in this world, how to behave with others, how to launch a movement, how to do da'wah work, how to establish an Islamic society. I would like to mention some aspects from the life of the Prophet of Islam. When Prophet started his mission in Mecca, there was a great problem. Mecca was built by Prophet Ibrahim as a center of Tawheed. He built Kaaba. Kaaba was the center of Tawheed. But in later periods, people were influenced by the Mushrik civilization. At that time, everywhere there was Mushrikana civilization. Civilization based on polytheism. At that time, Shirk was the dominating force everywhere in the world. So Meccan people became influenced by this civilization. So they placed some idols in the Kaaba, and the number of these idols reached to 360. So when the Prophet of Islam came, there were 360 idols in the premises of Kaaba. The Prophet of Islam was Prophet of Tawheed. His mission was based on the theory of oneness of God. He was against the idol worship. So how to do? Prophet of Islam was given a very unique formula from God. God sent this verse in the Quran, this guiding verse, Inna mal usra yusra, Inna mal usra yusra. It means that this ayat, this Quranic verse, refers to a law of nature, universal law of nature. This Quranic verse refers to a universal law of nature. And what is that universal law of nature? It is that this world was created in such a way that with every thorn there are flowers. So with every problem there are opportunities. So rose plant is a demonstration from God. It is a demonstration of law of nature. We see that with every branch of rose plant, there are thorns and at the same time there are flowers. So is the position of human life, human society. In human society, if there are problems, at the same time there are opportunities. So Prophet Hafizullah was directed by God that you have to ignore the problem and you have to avail the opportunities. So Prophet adopted this formula. At that time, what was the situation at Kaaba? As there were 360 idols, people turn out every day to visit their idols, to offer, to worship their idols. So Kaaba became a place of assembly, a place of gathering. So Prophet of Islam followed this formula that he simply ignored the presence of idols and he tried those assembly as his audience. This was the formula. The Prophet introduced in history, first time in the history, this formula. Any philosopher, any thinker, any reformer failed to discover this formula. All the reformers were obsessed with problems. According to their thinking, the starting point was to remove the obstacle, to eliminate the problem. This was the starting point from their, according to their thinking. Prophet of Islam introduced a new kind of strategy. That is, he said that the starting point is not removing the obstacles. The starting point is to avail the opportunities. This was the first time in history. Never in history before Muhammad anyone was able to discover this formula. The Prophet of Islam introduced a new formula. From where to begin? Every time you face this question, from where to begin? What is the starting point? So the starting point is ignore the problems, ignore the obstacles and avail the opportunities. This kind of starting point was first introduced in history by the Prophet of Islam. Everyone was obsessed with problems. Everyone wanted to confront with problems. Everyone wanted to remove problems, to remove obstacles. So they wasted time. Because problems are part of life. You cannot remove problems permanently from life. So life is just like rose plant. You cannot remove thorns from the rose plant. Rose thorns are an integral part of the plant. So is the case of human society. You cannot remove the problems from human society. So you have to find some other formula. And that formula is, ignore the problem and avail the opportunities. So Prophet of Islam ignored the presence of idols. And he availed that meetings, that gatherings as his audience. Thus he was able to perform Dawah work from the very beginning. He never wasted his time to remove the obstacles, to remove those idols. He never wasted his time. From the day one, he was able to start his mission. This was the first great contribution of Prophet of Islam to humanity. Then in Mecca, there were some other problems, some common problems. For example, there was no irrigation, so there was no agriculture. Then there were some social problems. So Meccan people asked Prophet of Islam to involve in these problems. They said that we are facing here some other common problem. We have to solve these problems by irrigation problem and other problems. They were ready to appoint him as a king of Mecca, as a leader of Mecca. But he refused. He said, "Ma la lihaza boistu alaykum. I was not sent to you for this purpose." Thus he set a very important example that we call priority, principle of priority. Although all these problems were important, to find some way of irrigation, to remove the social evils, these were very important. It was not haram, but it was lawful. But Prophet refused to indulge in these things. He said, "Ma lihaza boistu alaykum. I was not sent to you for this purpose." It means that this is not my priority. When he said that I was not sent for this purpose, in other words, he said, this is not my priority. In other words, he said that this is not my priority. My priority is Dawah work. You can do social work. You can do for irrigation. You can do something in to evolve our agriculture system. You can do. You are free. But it is not my priority. My priority is Dawah work. My priority is Inzar of Tafsir. My priority is to convey the message of God to all mankind. This is my priority. So priority is a very important principle. If you want to do something in an effective manner, if you want to do something and want to bring about result, then you have to adopt this principle, that is priority. The Prophet of Islam never indulged himself in social work, in community work, in agricultural work. Although all these things were good, but it was a matter of priority. It was a matter of priority. So he adopted dawa work. Then, you know, in every society there are different issues, different problems. If you indulge yourself in all these problems, in all these issues, then you will be then you will waste your times. You cannot perform your duty effectively. Then you will become jack of all and master of none. If you involve yourself in different issues, then you will become jack of all and master of none. So Prophet adopted the formula of priority, and his priority was dawa work. Then there were some atrocities in Mecca. Meccan people were idol worshippers, and the message of the Prophet of Islam was that you have to worship one God. There is no God but one God. So there was contradiction. There was a great difference between the two. So they turned hostile. They became enemy. Even they wanted to kill the Prophet of Islam. So he was facing all kinds of difficulties in Mecca. At that time there were more than 200 companions with the prophets, some from Mecca, some from other side, some also from Medina. So they wanted to do jihad. His companions wanted to do jihad against those Meccan people because they were committing zulm, atrocities. So they said that we do jihad. But Prophet of Islam has said, every time he said, Isbiru fa'inni lam umar bil qatal. Isbiru fa'inni lam umar bil qatal. Keep patience. Keep patience. I am not allowed to go to qatal, to war, to fighting. Here Prophet gave a very important formula. Very, very important formula. War is a department of state and not individuals. At that time Prophet was simply an individual. His companions were not government or state. That war is a prerogative of a state and not of individuals. If individuals go to war, then the result will be anarchy. Only state has that kind of source that is needed for war. So he never accepted their offer that we want to do jihad. He said no. Then when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, and there he was able to establish a state. So Medina was a city-state at that time. So at that time, so when he was able to establish a state in Medina, Meccan people became enemy of this state. So they attacked several times. Then Prophet war a defensive war. When he was ahead of the state and they attacked from Mecca, then he engaged himself in defensive war. So by this he set a very, very important example that war is a prerogative of a state. No individual, no agency other than a state is allowed to go to war. So he never allowed to his companions to go to war, to go to fighting, to go to violence. Never, never, never. So all kind of those guerrilla wars, proxy wars, are unlawful in Islam, because these are useless. Through guerrilla war or proxy war, you can't achieve a positive result. It is simply an outburst. All those so-called guerrilla wars or so-called proxy wars or so-called secret wars are nothing but useless outburst. It is not war. It is self-killing. It is self-killing. Through guerrilla war, through proxy war, through secret wars, you cannot get a positive result. So Prophet of Islam prohibited all these kind of war. He allowed only one war, that is war by state. This example was set by Prophet, perhaps first in his, he was the first in history. Perhaps he was the first in history to differentiate between state war and individual war. He was first in history to differentiate between state war and individual war. He said individual had no right to go to war. Organizations other than state have no right to go to war. Only state has the right to war. Only state has right to go to war. This example was set by the Prophet of Islam, perhaps first in the history, first time in the history. Then Prophet of Islam set another example that there is no war except defensive war. Even a state is not allowed to go to war as an aggression. Even a state is allowed to go to war in defensive situation. Other than defensive war is not allowed. It is haram in Islam. So this was also a very important example set by the Prophet of Islam. Then also he adopted a very unique formula, that is avoidance. According to the record, the Meccan people tried to attack Medina no less than 83 times. But Prophet of Islam also avoided. There were only three wars: Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, and Battle of Hunain. Other than three wars, there were no wars between Prophet of Islam and Quraysh. So avoidance is also a way of defense. This is a unique concept given by the Prophet of Islam. If there is attack, if there is aggression, then first of all, you have to avoid war. Avoidance is also a way of defense. It is a unique concept. I will give an example of this kind of principle. You know, Meccan people attacked Medina with great army that was consisted 12,000 people. It was a very dangerous situation. But Prophet of Islam, what was his strategy at that time? When he became aware that people have planned to attack Medina, so he dug a trench after great labor. He dug a trench. You know, Makkah, so your Medina was a very unique type of city. Medina was surrounded by three sides. One side there were mountains, and two sides there were jungles of dead trees. In this sense, Medina was a unique city. It was surrounded by trees and jungles and mountains from three sides. So only one side was open. So he dug a trench. You know, at that time there were no helicopters, so it was not accessible. It became accessible. They came with their army of 12,000. But when they say that there is a trench and they cannot, so they stopped their march. They were not able to cross the trench and attack the Medina. So it was a way of avoidance. Our books refer this event as a battle of trench, but it was not battle. It is a kind of avoidance. So every time Prophet avoided, so although Meccan people tried to involve him in war more than 80 times, but he avoided. Only three times there were defensive war, full-fledged war. There were three full-fledged war. So Prophet of Islam introduced a very unique concept in the history of battles, that's avoidance. So when there is attack from enemy, there is aggression from enemy, so don't go to fight. Before fighting, you try to avoid war, avoid fighting. For the Prophet of Islam, war was a compulsive option. So this was unknown in history before Mamluk era. This was quite unknown, that when war becomes compulsion, then you can go to defensive war. Otherwise, you have to engage yourself in constructive activities. There are so many activities other than war. In terms of education, in terms of dawah, in terms of agriculture, in terms of history, in terms of business. There are so many fields. So you have to engage in these fields. You have to consolidate your position. Consolidation is also a very important aspect of life. Why go to war? So Prophet of Islam adopted this formula, that consolidate your position, engage yourself in constructive fields. Don't go to war, except it becomes a compulsion. Then the Prophet of Islam also set a very important example. How to build a better society? How to organize a society? How to implement those religious norms, spiritual norms in a society? Prophet of Islam never tried to implement these norms by force. It was common in the previous history. People always wanted to implement their required system through by force. But Prophet of Islam set a new example, that first of all you have to persuade people, you have to prepare the society, you have to change the mind of the peoples. You have changed the people's mind, their thought, their mind, their thinking. Then you can implement those laws and those principles. There is a very relevant hadith in Bukhari, narrated by Aisha. He says that although Islam wanted to ban on wine, to impose ban on adultery, but she says that God Almighty never revealed this kind of verses in the Quran in early periods. So from Mecca to Medina, Prophet was engaged in the work of Dawah. He wanted to persuade people. He wanted to prepare mind. He wanted to change the heart of the people. He wanted to make them prepare. The first target was to prepare society in intellectual term, in intellectual sense. So first he prepared a society. First he changed people's thinking. Then these verses were revealed, that adultery is haram and wine is haram. So she says that if these verses were revealed before the preparation of society, they would say, La nadau zina abadan, la nadau al-khamar abadan. We are not going to abandon adultery. We are not going to abandon wine, alcohol. So this was also a very important example set by the Prophet of Islam. What is the correct way of bringing about a reform in society? How you can build a better society? Everyone tries to bring about change in society. Everyone wants to bring about reform in society. But everyone tries to bring about this through laws. People know nothing except legal activism. Judicial activism and legal activism. So they try to implement these principles, these laws through by force. And you know, everyone fails. No one was able to establish a better society. Here I would like to give a comparative example. United States of America wanted to prohibit alcohol on a national scale. So they made a law of prohibition against alcohol. This prohibition law was passed by their parliament in 1919. Then from 1919 up to 1938, the whole administration was engaged in this task. United States of America wanted to eradicate alcohol from its territory through law, through force, but they failed. They spent all their strength to implement prohibited laws. But they failed. From 1919 up to 1983, it's a very interesting story. You can see it in any book, like Encyclopedia Britannica, under the prohibition law. They failed, and then they removed that law in 1938, and they allowed the society, because they failed. There were unlawful industry, so people refused that we are not going to abandon alcohol. So administration failed. A US administration failed. So they said that there's no use of this kind of law. So they remove all those laws, and they gave freedom to the American people. This was the fate of America. This was the fate of America's struggle from 1919 up to 1983. They wanted to impose prohibition, but they failed. But now there is another story, and that story you can read in the early history of the Islam. Prophet of Islam was against the alcohol. He wanted to eradicate alcohol. But he never tried to implement this principle by force. No. He persuaded his people. He prepared their mind. He told them that it is harmless, it is a harmful practice for you in this world and also in the world hereafter. He made them believe that alcohol is a harmless habit, a harmless practice for you. in this world and also in the world hereafter. So after love, so when he successfully changed the heart of the people and mind of the people, when he was able to change their thinking, then those verses were revealed in the Quran, that alcohol is haram. So when this verse was revealed in the Quran, all the people suddenly abandoned alcohol. After this verse, no one took alcohol. So by this comparative study you can understand that what was the prophet's method. All other people, all the reformers, all the leaders want to implement their principles by force, by law, and they are failure. But Prophet of Islam gained complete success. You know, there was a Indian leader, M.N. Roy. He published a book with the title Historical Role of Islam. In this book, he says about Muhammad that he performed a great miracle. He changed the society. His wording is that the most miraculous of all miracles. He refers to Prophet Muhammad's revolution and says about it that it was the most miraculous of all miracles. Then Dr. Michael Hart of America says that Muhammad was supremely successful even in secular matters. But what was the method? How he was so successful? So I tried to give some example of his methodology. By these references you can understand how the Prophet of Islam was so successful. So we have to follow his methodology. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أجمعين.